Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildev and Weaver of Dreams and Poetic Picasso and Gray Eye Smith. Want to wish Gray Eye Smith some fast healing. He will not be with us tonight. He was in the hospital today. So I hope everything goes well for him. And just to let you know a little bit about ourselves, we are the Late Night Poets Group, and you can find us on allpoetry.com. And it is free to join, so check us out. And just to let you know, these radio programs are supported by poetry, and books have a collection of books from poets around the world. You can find them on Amazon.com. They're really thick books, and they're heavy, and they're beautiful, and they will make nice Christmas gifts. So, you know, please go and check them out and support our poets and radio program. And we are doing late front page picks tonight. And also we have open poetry. So, Miss Katie, if for whatever reason I hang up and the more I talk, the more I cough. So, Miss Katie, we're ready for our first poem. And I can't see who's on the line, but I can see who's in the group. Katie from Scotland is here. Hi, Katie. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderfully well. Thank you, my dear.
So happy to have you. I don't know if Pam's on, but hi, Pam. She's
in
the group.
I am on. Hi,
hi Pam.
Hi, my
darling. Happy to have you. Thank you.
Good
and
to be
also,
here.
I'm happy to have you. She's a fabulous poet, and we're going to get to hear one of her poems tonight. She's also one of our radio hosts. And also one of our members is Miriam Kilmer. I know that she's going to be calling in. Miriam, are you on yet? I guess not yet. Okay, so we're just waiting for her to come on. And I want to thank Fill My Eyes for helping me tonight.
I am.
Gray Eye is, yeah, thank you, because Gray
okay.
Eye is in the hospital. Thank you, Phil. Okay, back to you, Miss Weaver.
Okay, my dear. I think that actually Miriam is on at the moment.
Miriam. Hi, Miriam.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to the show, Miriam. Good to hear your voice.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're ready for our first poem, Miss Katie.
Yes, and we have that on the board, When Tomorrow Comes by Ben Hart. Pam, would you like to read this one, please?
I would be happy to.
Thank you.
Oh, my Lord, weigh down more my cup with every sip I take. I'll lie down one day for love in whatever burning bed you make. Let me have one more dream and then perhaps I'll wake. Oh, Lord, my dear Lord, please stand down. Call back the horsemen you sent round. Can you not hear? Can you not hear, my Lord? That splendid sound, free Jews singing hallelujah, that no Pharaoh ever found. Keep not our fellow man below. Lord, make of man a mountain to inspire the climb. Every mountain becomes pebbles in due time. Pass through the rivers God carved into a poet's hands to make sure the immortal is made for every man. O Lord, my dear Lord, drown us not in holy flood. A lot of Noah's left are not. And even if skippers we became all on that faithful day, there is no timberland, no wood left in your wounded woods, no hope left in any giving hand, only fingers pulling up the roots, evil gathered on the fair road home. O Lord, where have all the good men gone? O Lord, I beg you, let not David cast your only stone. Step down from your holy throne and see not thy kingdom come, but thy kingdom done. Pardon the innocent, pardon not the Pentian. There is no pardon for good men who let themselves fall divided. The twice blinded who preach epiphanies find not the divine design that God so poorly hid beneath our eyelids. O Lord, my dear Lord, O Lord, my dear Lord, please call back the bombers you sent round. Can you not hear, can you not hear that splendid sound? Freedom in your promised land, could you show us how? No more war in Jerusalem town. Good free Jews, stand your soldiers down. Spill no blood where Jesus walked his last steps, where Saladin prayed in peace and as victor slept, where once stood a holy house for whose burning Yahweh wept. Let not the walls wail. Let now the streets be swept with their pebble tears. Let men of one God and one good, divided only by books, walk barefoot down old hills greed has made shallow. Let a generation who the devil mistook for their fathers and crooks march as one through seas parted by the strength of their hope. We may be slaves, but we will never be your Pharaoh, for we will always believe as long as on high still free flies the sparrow. And when tomorrow comes, we'll step outside our lone perceptions of imprisonment. We'll still know how to breathe as we see the power is impotent when we're no longer on our knees. End poem.
Oh, you did a fabulous read of Ben's poem, Heart Poem, Pam. You know what I really loved here, and I'm kind of shaky right now if you hear me because I'm on steroids. So I, you know, I really love the stanza that Pam read and that Ben wrote. Still no blood where Jesus walked his last. Saladin prayed in peace, and as victor slept where once stood a holy house for whose burning Yahweh wept. Let now the walls wail. Let now the streets be swept with the pebble tears. Let men of one God and one good. You know, religious or not, when you look at and study Jesus' lifetime, you know, he always preached that we were to, you know, love God and love our fellow man. And, you know, he never raised up, you know, and this is what I don't understand. He never used a sword or used any type of violence. He only preached that we love one another. And, you know, even that message back then was a good message for humankind. And even today, that message still stands where, you know, we should respect each other. And I thought that he wrote this. It was just fabulous. It was emotive. You know, it just made us think of the passages from the time, you know, that he lived all the way till now. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Wonderful read, by the way, Pam. It really was very well done. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed your reading of it as well, but this... it does inspire. That's the beauty of being able to see all of this kind of interesting poetry coming through and letting us enjoy it. Of course, I mean, it's beautifully written and the artwork is wonderful too. Really well done. I've always enjoyed Ben's work. It's always so good. So when tomorrow comes, hopefully it will be a better tomorrow. Thank you, Ben, for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful comment, Katie. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Miriam?
I lost my favorite two lines. I've been searching and searching the poem, trying to find them again. But I will say that I really liked the part about the people of one God divided only by their books. You know, that's something I think of a lot, and it just breaks my heart that we're not able to get along better. And I think there's a lot of anger in this poem as well as hope. And here it is. Oh, Lord, my dear Lord, please call back the bombers. This just, you know, it's just a heartbreaking prayer and something that I think that we all should be saying. This is a poem of anger and almost of despair, but it's also a poem of hope.
Mm-hmm. Miriam?
Yes?
Oh, I thought we lost you. Thank you so much for your wonderful... Yeah, thank you so much. And Pam, you did a beautiful job in reading his poem. What did you think?
Oh, I thought this was an amazing spiritual rite. It had a great use of repetition to create a lyrical quality, you know, which had a, like, I like what Amin had to say about how it was a, you know, had despair and anger in it, but also a sense of hope. And mm-hmm. I really like how he speaks on the idea of trying to create a world of peace and understanding between all humans. Spill no blood where Jesus walked his last steps, where Saladin mm-hmm. prayed in peace and as Victor slept, where once stood a holy house for whose burning Yahweh wept. I mean, those are just brilliant lines and very well done.
Great, wonderful comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bill, did you get to hear the poem?
Well, I came in a little late, but I did hear some of it, and mm-hmm. I thought it was beautiful. I really appreciated the historical references, so you get a sense of all the, you know, the history and all the time that is there in Israel, from the references to the temple, the Wailing Wall, Yahweh, where Jesus walked, Saladin, who, you know, once conquered that territory. But it's quite the prayer, and I'm going to leave it at that because some of my thoughts on this are touchy.
Okay. Thank you, Bill, for calling in. This is Bill Scheller. He's one of Late Night Poets members. Thank you. We're happy to have you. Okay, Miss Katie, ready for our next. You're welcome. We're ready for our next poem.
Okay. Sorry, I forgot to unclick. We have Smile by Ole Lunin, and this one has a SoundCloud.
Yes. And Phil, could you play that SoundCloud, please?
Smile. Petaling petals, winding winds, heartening gardens, grins of green. Sins are unseen, shared among shards, hearts never hardened, kind but not kin. Scalding yet cold, molten and molding, I play my ploys, word after word. Gardens regarding, guarding my garments, sunken but sudden, word after word. I lie there laden, word upon word.
Thank you, Ole. That was a beautiful recording. He's new to our group, and I enjoy his poetry. And I would like to know what you thought about his poem, Smile, Katie.
Oh, yes, it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed this. I love the start of it, the first stanza. It just, mm-hmm. again, it sets everything up, doesn't it? And it's just so well done. Peddling petals, winding winds, heartening gardens, green, grins of green. Just very clever. And those last two lines, I lie there laden word upon word. That just tells you everything. You know, it's not an easy thing to do to get your thoughts out to people and get them to hear you word upon word. So very well done. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Beautiful comment. And what did you think about his poem, Pam?
Oh, this is wonderful. I thought it had a great flow to it. Wonderful imagery. I like his reading voice. To me, I really like how it spoke on the sense of movement within nature, but also a sense of, you know, those things that are around us that are unseen. As he says, sins are unseen, shared among shards, hearts never hardened, kind but not kin. You know, that's also some great little, you know, nice, gentle use of alliteration, which works well sprinkled throughout. But I do like how it speaks on the movement and the silence that oftentimes sparks the words of the poet. So very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he writes beautifully. I agree with you, Pam. I liked also, you know, scolding yet cold. Molten and molding, I play my ploys word after word. You know, it just that has wonderfully penned Gardens Regarding Guarding My Garment, Spoken But Sudden, Word After Word. And with that opening stanza, you could just hear the different words falling down like petals onto the ground. I really enjoyed this. What did you think, Miriam?
This is a wonderful poem just to listen to, and I'm tempted to read the whole thing to you again. Not that there was anything wrong with the original reading. It's just so much fun with the way the words play with each other. With the, some of it, the word is almost repeated, but there's slight changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to have to read it over several times before I get beyond the music and into the meaning.
Okay. Wonderful comment, Miriam. Thank you. And, you know, I agree. You know, it's really hard to comment on a poem. Sometimes we just read the first time. Sometimes it takes a couple of times to read it to get those juices flowing. I totally agree. And what did you think about the poem, Bill?
I thought of it like a dessert. He's got five stanzas, and each stanza is a like a spoonful of deliciousness. I think it was Pam who said the alliteration was gentle. For me, it is very overt, and it adds to the rhythmic quality of the writing. Petaling petals, winding winds, grins of green, shared among stars, hearts never hardened. The playoff of the sounds in this is really spectacular. I love it.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody. Such wonderful comments. And we're ready for our next poem. And hola, Francisco.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. I'm not sure if you got to hear Ole's poem.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I was holding. No, I wasn't. Sorry.
I'll catch you on the next one. And you said that you're here to comment that you can't read?
Yeah, well, mostly because of my connection here. I don't know how well the connection is. You know, if I had good connection, I could read,
okay.
But I never know. You know, that's the issue with me. I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you. All right. Gracias. Okay. We're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
All righty. Next one up is River Water by Jack Tomkovic. I love that name. And Bill, would you read this for us, please, Bill?
I'm sorry, are you asking me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay, I've got it, and I got it pulled up. This is the poem River Water by Jack Tomkovic, and it goes like this. Sexual attraction is river water, washing, flowing for drinking, and bathing, clean and clean. A fountain of youth, seen on skin. Drink you in, and in a rush, I float over stones and pebbles, smoothing them, rounding edges. We are smooth to the touch, and fit as interlocking pieces. In that polished oaken floor we call life, sturdy and strong, we shine and support, touch feet and toes like soft soap, sweet smelling like lilacs or roses washed like new when river water flows. End poem.
Mm. Beautiful read, Bill. You know, I love reading Jack's poetry about his wife. You know, he brings such a beautiful imagery here. You know, I like the sweet smelling like lilacs or roses washed like new, you know, because he talks above in the previous stanza, sturdy and strong, we shine and support,
touch feet and toes like soft as soap. And then at the end he goes, when river water flows. I thought this was just beautiful, him talking about water and love and relationships. He always writes such romantic poems. What did you think, Katie?
I agree. This is so well written. Lovely. I like that first stanza. Just sexual attraction is river water for washing, flowing for drinking, and bathing clear and clean. Now that's, I mean, so much of our world, so much of our planet doesn't have clean drinking water for people. It's and yet it should be something. I mean, we're mostly made of water, so it should be something that's obviously got to be there for everybody to have. And hopefully someday it will be. I hope it does. But I think this is a beautiful write. And that last one, that last stanza is beautiful as well. So thank you for sharing that with us, Jack.
Thank you. And we're going to do 3 comments per poem because we have tons of poetry and I would like to get comments and I'd like to get as many poems read. Pam, what did you think of Jack's poem?
Oh, this is beautiful. I love the imagery and the extended metaphor. I like how this speaks on the physical and emotional connection between two people. And it's amazing all the way through, but I especially like, I float over stones and pebbles, smoothing them rounding edges. We are smooth to the touch and fit as interlocking pieces. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Agree. Beautiful comments, everyone. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay, next poem is The Beautiful Housewife by Cedar Chapman. I don't want to ask Bill to have to read again, so I will read this one. Okay. All right, here we go. The Beautiful Housewife. I scratch the mornings out of my eyes, but the fog sticks to my pupils like plaster of Paris. Jugs of Java juice can't seem to shake off this perpetual haze as I sit on my patio and stare at bloody white pigeon break through the solar ribbons bleeding through my cataracts. I'm idle in a pandemic postpartum with stacks of cursive rhetoric tossed all over the floor, each page whitewashed by cheap meter and meaningless metaphors. Just another barren queen who's stuck on a chessboard and lathered in emerald silk, wishing sturgeon caviar was strawberry pop candy because it ushers me back to my youth. With a glass full of afternoon burgundy in one hand, I toss my red shawl over the balcony and watch it spiral and somersault down. Would anybody pick it up, I wondered, while sipping my wine and staring at the pavement 100 feet below. Would anybody even notice at all? End poem.
Okay, Katie, thank you. You did a wonderful read of this poem. I really enjoyed this poem by Cedar. It's one of my favorite ones he's written. What did you think about his poem, Bill?
I thought there's a picture that accompanies this poem, and it fits so perfect with that writing. I was particularly struck by the stanza that says, wishing sturgeon caviar was strawberry pop candy because it ushers me back to my youth. I stuck on that for a minute because I started thinking about how when I was a kid, if someone offered me sturgeon caviar or a Three Musketeers chocolate bar, I sure would have gone with the chocolate. And I'm still trying to pick out, because it's called The Beautiful Housewife. I'm trying to pick, you know, what is this saying? The beauty is, you know, we're not human doings, we're human beings. But so much what I see of this housewife is the things that she's doing. So we're still wrestling with the idea of beauty being in what the woman is doing, not so much what she is. And I know there's a relationship there. I'm just on the cusp of it here. It's a little, it takes a little more contemplation, I think. Still, fine writing. Really cool. That's it for me.
Thank you, Bill. And Miriam, what did you think?
The main thing that strikes me in this poem is the imagery, and it's not just visual imagery, but there's a very strong, very strong references to taste. And along with that, I really enjoy the story, and I can see that red shawl floating down. I don't know why she threw it over the balcony. I wouldn't do that. But it creates such a beautiful image that I don't really care why. It's just lovely.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, when I was reading, you know, when I was listening to Katie reading his poem, I could just see that sauntering and floating all the way down. Yeah, that caught my eye, too. Thank you, Miriam. And so, how about you, Cersei?
I think I said she, but I really do know this is a guy.
Yeah,
Peter.
Yeah, yes, I want to say first, I think there's a message to this. This is, has an aesthetic message, perhaps, to this poem. Yeah. But I also thought about the type of painting, that's the Impressionism, you know, the early 1900s, you know, with Picasso in particular. This gave me a particular reminiscence of that. I thought overall the poem was magnificent, and I liked the descriptive nature of the poem in comparison to the picture itself.
Great. Thank you so much, Frank. Wonderful comment. Thank you, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
And here it is, just by magic. Or is it? Is it gone? Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness me. Starting already, the gremlins are nibbling at my toes. This is Limerence by Average White Man. Now, Frank, did you say you don't think you'll be able to get the poems up to read them, no?
Well, I can do it. I can try and read and hope my connection doesn't fade. I can try reading. I mean, that's not an issue.
Okay, yeah, you've got a great connection right now.
All right. This is called Limerence, and it goes like this. My face, now a chiseled gargoyle on a cenotaph of wasted years. Shoulders ache under the weight of shame. Fingernails worn to the quick, wails as acid on my cheeks. My tenderized vessel beats on it all its vanity. Muscles engorged, but for what? I am bleached by the rain. I hold myself with pride, but it is all an illusion, an absolute act of hubris. At the end of the stretch rope of time, I have learned to live without your love. You are the worst thing to ever happen to me. I know the meaning of redundancy. Your aura clings to me like the fragrant exhalation of lilies. My arms were like a bridge for your gallery of precious stones, held aloft within your crown of beauty. You drenched me in emerald pools of mutual dreams, shared memories of realities, not yet beheld and yet carved into the monument of us, like the warmth of the sun and my indebted skin. So you prove to be, you are the best thing to ever happen to me. End of poem.
Oh, fabulous read. I was looking to see what the Average White Man wrote this for, and it was for a contest, If My Ink Got You. So, you know, that's what he wrote about. So this is going to be about romance, heartache. And I thought that he did this beautifully. You know, I found it beautifully, you know, his technique was very masterful. He said he had trouble with it, but you would never know that he did. You know, and especially where he talks about, I hold myself with pride, but it is an illusion, an absolute act of hubris. At the end of the stretch rope of time, I have learned to live without your love. You are the worst thing to ever happen to me. You know, that person that just, you go on with your life, but those memories are just etched you know, inside your heart, and you know, you just find that you just can't let go of that person. And I thought he did this fantastic. This is just wonderful. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, it was wonderful. I agree, and great read too, Frank. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. I thought this was clever because we have two sides of the coin. We have you are mm-hmm. the worst thing that ever happened to me, and then at the end of that you have you are the best thing to ever happen to me, which is just wonderful. Obviously that would be the prompt that he's writing to, but I thought it was very well done. I like my face now a chiseled gargoyle on a cenotaph of wasted years. So clever. That wordmanship is wonderful. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Average White Man.
Thank you, Katie. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Pam? I'd love to know your thoughts.
I thought this was wonderful, and I really like what Kate had to say about how he wrote for two sides of the coin, because I was thinking the same thing. And I really liked this all the way through, but for the first part, I really liked I am bleached by the rain. I hold myself with pride, but it is all an illusion, an obsolete act of hubris. And then for mm-hmm. the second part, I really like your crown of beauty. You drenched me in emerald pools of mutual dreams, shared memories of realities not yet beheld and yet carved into the monument of us. And I like how that speaks on that hope that you once had, that your yeah. everything in your life would be shared together. A powerful and emotive write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Excellent comment. And I'd like to welcome to the show one of our other radio hosts, Naomi Sarah from Canada. Hey, Naomi.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
welcome. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes, we can. We can
happy
hear you.
To be with you.
Happy to have you. Great connection. And we welcome to the show. I'll catch you on the next comment, Miss Naomi.
Yeah.
And we're ready
yeah.
for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Right now, this I'd like to ask Pam. This is Pam's poem, The Dementia of Truth Fade. And there is a SoundCloud, but I wondered if either play the SoundCloud or would you like to read it, Pam?
Actually, I prefer the SoundCloud because I'm less likely to stutter on the SoundCloud.
I agree.
I'll take your word on that, Pam.
And that's how you found out that I always like to have SoundClouds on mine, because I know I stutter and stammer. So, yes, cleverly done. So there we are. Could we have the SoundCloud, please, Phil?
The Dementia of Truth Slayed. In small towns, we discover bones of ourselves trying desperately to drift away. Beneath burnt trees, swaddled seedlings stretch to crown wet leaves. Prophets of gossip gnash their polymer teeth against white fence lines. To know the holy dementia of a truth slayed for greater purpose, an antiquity of words blends together, raised to be filth and famine, and promises of jukebox rivalry. Onward we march, waving ash-covered palms to a Wednesday of up-and-coming debutantes, revealing knickers dropped to satiate the bowl in a pen of stalwart tomorrows, gorging ourselves upon dreams of city lights that electrify the pinpoint of self. Among the stench of evergreens we rest to trace the naked words that pierce the eye, ties for the trimmings of ornamental holidays, orchid scriptures to mason the veins of Venus sinking below the waves, lost in the apocalypse mind, roots require a sacred breath. End poem.
Oh, wow, Pam. What powerful metaphors. Oh my goodness, what a great poem. Let's get you some comments. Bill, what did you think of Pam's poem?
I was hooked right from the very beginning, and a lot of this resonated with me. I love the first two lines because I think it is so relatable to any of us who come from a small town, which is, you know, I've traveled the world, but the little small town that I grew up is still home to me, and my bones are there. So in the first two lines where it says in small towns, we discover the bones of ourselves trying desperately to drift away. I was so hurried to get away from my little town that I grew up in, but now I can't visit there enough because my memories are there. And I related a lot to this beautiful writing. And Pam, it's called The Dementia of Truth Slade, but Pam, as always, just slayed this poem. It's beautiful stuff.
Thank you. Wonderful comment, Bill. How about you, Frank?
Yes. First of all, I thought the SoundCloud was excellent there. I am always amazed by Pam's creativity. You know, this poem just is abundantly clear just how much she really uses the metaphors in such unique places here. And I, too, like the statue that was mentioned before. You know, the whole notion of small towns, to me, I've lived in very few of them, but I find them in comparison to cities, they have their good things. But overall, this piece was masterful. And one quick thing, if I can ask Pam, what inspired you for the knickers there in the ball itself?
That's a secret
hint. Oh, I thought it was a hint there. There you go.
Well, you never know. It might be.
There you go, Pam. Great job. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank. And Miriam, I would like to know what you thought of Pam's poem.
There's a great deal in this poem, and they're just two stanzas that I want to comment on. One is the second one, which I just find very, very beautiful image. Beneath burnt trees, swaddled seedlings stretch to crown wet leaves. And I can just see those seedlings bursting out of their arils and stretching up through the wet leaves at the top. It's very, very beautiful. And the other one that really hit me because it reminds me of my childhood in particular, but also parts of my life in community of Christians, and that's the stretching of from Ash Wednesday to the end of Lent on Palm Sunday. We wave palms around and celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Everybody thinks he's a really cool dude, and then they kill him. And then the next year, those palms are burned and used to mark the foreheads of the faithful to symbol that we came from the ash, came from the dust of the earth, that God made us from basic elements, dust or clay or should be stardust, but we didn't know about that back then. And that actually goes back to the burnt trees in the second verse. This is great.
Thank you, Miriam. And Naomi, what did you think of that poem?
Oh, my gracious. You know, wow. Just wow. You know, every stanza could just stand on its own. I mean, this is like a ton of little brevities in one poem. I just love of course that first stanza, you know, it's just amazing. You know, in small towns we discover bones of ourselves trying desperately to drift away. So true, you know. We are the fundamental of who we are,
are in those little towns where we grew up, where we took our roots. But we do want to go away from those little towns. And then, you know, the metaphor of prophets of gossip gnash their polymer teeth against white fence lines. Oh, my gracious. Yeah, the gossip that goes on in these little towns. Everybody knows everybody else's life. Everybody knows, you know, what they're doing, what's it about. And then I really like Raised to be Filth and Fat in Promises of Jukebox Revelry. I just see myself, you know, as a young teenager. at the canteen place, you know, where we'd get, you know, the hot dogs and that, and there was a jukebox in the corner, and, you know, we'd fight over which boy we were going to dance with. Well, that's what came to mind when I saw Jukebox Revelry there. And, you know, just amazing. What was the other one that really jumped out? Oh, yeah, Gorging Ourselves Upon Dreams of City Lights That Electrify the Pinpoints of Self. Among the stench of evergreens, we rest to trace the naked words that pierce the eye. Wow, you know, just amazing metaphors, just loaded with metaphors all throughout and wonderful imagery. And what an outstanding front page pick. My gracious, this is just amazing. Bravo, Pam.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next front page pick.
And our next one is Epigraphs. Haven't Weight in Gold. Sorry about that, Sky. Dark home. Couldn't read that properly. And this has a SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Epigraphs, Haven't Weight in Gold by Sky Darkholm. No plainer can a token be, would be a lie on raven's tongue, for in the shoals of fur billows are not the colors of tedium. Instead, those flounces of red, those petal-dons looped in vine, where sharper thorns catch an orient girding eye, still tiny shimmers of light. They tread moonless orbs, a guild of epoch and realm, the mythos of distant shores, and those that yet steer the helm. End poem.
I want to thank Sky Darkholm for, and I want to, you know, also shout out for her. She's sick with a cold, so I hope she feels better. I thought this was beautifully read. I loved this brevity. I just thought it was just, it was beautiful. It was serene. I wish people could see this picture. You know, I loved her opening lines. No plainer can a token be, would be a lie on raven's tongue, for in the shawls of fur billows are not the collars of tedium. I just thought this was gorgeous, and the image that she wrote for was just strikingly beautiful. Thank you, Sky, and I want to congratulate everybody on the front page pick. And Katie, you are next to comment.
Oh, I thought I was muted. Yeah, I agree with you about that picture. That is so beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. But yes, I like this one. I really, again, it's one of these things that I'm not going to be able to get all of it to begin with because it's quite, for me, quite deep. But I like that last stanza. They tread moonless orbs, a guild of epoch and realm, the mythos of distant shores, and those that yet steer the helm. So we're on a journey. We will always be on a journey. We're looking to go somewhere. We're a restless bunch. We really are a restless bunch. And you would need somebody to steer the helm. You would need somebody strong. It always needs a strong person to point us in the right direction, doesn't matter what the issue is. It takes a lunatic to get people behind them. So yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Jenny. And Pam, what did you think of Sky's poem?
Oh, this is beautiful and brilliant all the way through. It's a wonderful brevity. And I like how it speaks to me on taking a journey in the dark and finding the light. And I love all three stanzas, but that second one especially speaks to me. Where sharper thorns cage in our girding eye show tiny shimmers of light. It feels like, you know, like it speaks on the idea that sometimes you have to go through a lot of pain in order to see the bright side of things. So a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And thank you, Sky, and congratulations to everyone. And we're still in our front page picks, so we're ready for our next film. Miss Katie?
Yes, no problem at all. Sorry, I was otherwise engaged there. Oh, dear, my screen, occasionally my screen goes completely black and there's nothing, so I have to sort of patiently breathe for it to come back otherwise.
Yeah, well, my computer screen's not showing anything at all.
Oh, I know, what a shame. Terrible thing to happen. When I
we had an accident here and it knocked all the electricity out, and when it came back on, I have an old computer, it fried it.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, so yeah, and then I caught the flu, so it's just, you know how that goes, when it rains it pours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do the best we can.
Mm-hmm. You're doing a great job.
Yes, you are.
Thank
you're doing wonderfully. Right, I have the next one up. The next one is Hunger by Chinesky, and I think there is a sound cloud for this.
Mm-hmm.
Sight did not make wishes come true, as days are evenly divided by night, and broken bridges gave way to empty grains of sand, angel-like suspended. As delicate prey, sharp claws never pierced its eggshell mind in retreating surrender. Clawing weapons turned into swarming swans, gracefully arranging notes on a symphony of pearls that made a necklace of azure. And it wasn't spoken. In silence, it lifted higher than air. Warmth wandered slopes in search of the world as the fences dragged her down. We grew into bouquets, swallowing surroundings immediately with vision as the road led to fields. Quietly, angels whisper into dead ears, wrestling with temptation, swaying flames as we spoke. Easy verse over murmuring rondo, dying shadows resembling moon silhouettes, and I ate immediately without any quiver or hesitation.
Thank you, Chinowski. Wonderful recording. Let's get him some comments. What did you think about his poem, Bill?
My first thought was how incredible. I had read this, but then when I heard his voice and the way he read it, it just took it to a whole other dimension. And I started seeing this in a whole other way. And even though the poem is called Hunger, I do get the sense that it has nothing to do with hungering for food or being fed. Is something more profound, and I'm still trying to wrestle around my head around it. It's one of those poems that you have to think about for a little bit, and then you go, "Ah, wow, I love that. I like poems that make me think," and he's done that masterfully.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bill. And what did you think about this poem, Frank?
I would think he did a fantastic job here. He's always able to bring us, using metaphors, colorful metaphors in particular, he's always able to bring us a message, a moral to the piece. You know, there is some dark overtures to this piece, you know,
But I thought overall the message of this poem here was very profound, very profound. And I thought it was a fantastic, fantastic writing and a fantastic soundboard as well.
Thank you. Excellent comment, Frank. How about you, Miriam?
I agree that this is not about physical hunger, that it's more of a spiritual hunger. And I'm sorry. I have had trouble going over the poem because I was just so overwhelmed by Bill's comments. I put my whole mind and soul into what he was saying. So I think I've said all I need to say.
That's fine. Thank you, Miriam. How about you, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, elegance and gracefulness come to mind when I, you know, heard him read this poem. You know, from what I get out of it, it's like a hunger of knowing of I get the impression a hunger of trying to survive against those deep feelings of temptation, you know, between good and evil. I could be wrong, but I get that when, you know, the last stanza, quietly angels whisper into dead ears, wrestling with temptation, swaying flames as we spoke, easy verse over murmuring rando, dying shadows resembling moon silhouettes. And I ate immediately without any quiver or hesitation. So getting over that scare, that fright of just, you know, I don't know, either attacking life or attacking death, you know, that fear of life or fear of death or fear of both, really. I could be completely wrong here, but you know, it's just I was just, you know, flowing with his voice. I was just totally captivated in his reading. So yeah, you know, Pam, just tell us what it's about. You know, yeah,
well,
it's just amazing.
I had to go look at his comments. You know, it was a little bit about what all of you were talking about. You know, he is such a supporter of things natural with nature. And in his comments, he told Obinet that our only lasting salvation, which is what all of you were talking about, is to be part of nature, to break deadly habits, you know, and then, you know, and there it is that hunger that each of you were talking about, that each of you caught in your own way. You know, I imagine that he's, you know, absorbing nature, but at the same time, you know, what Naomi was talking about, you know, having to deal with the death of Mother Nature. So wonderful comments, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, Naomi.
Welcome.
And we're ready for our next poem.
Diddly-dee-dee-dee. Here it is. She Dyes My Blues by Ifur Abd. And Naomi, could you give us a read for us, please?
Okay. She dyes my blues. She dyes my blues with verdant hues reflected on a petal. As red birds sing and church bells ring, her arms wrap me with metal. And on this Sunday in the rain from bands, they've named Ophelia. The gold within makes bobbins spin with twine and mormor bellia. Moms weave their heartstrings in a quilt that tie us all together. So when they're gone and hopes are drawn, we'll picture them forever. End poem.
Beautifully done. Thank you so much. I don't know if Lou used back with us yet. No, I don't think so. So I'll just ask for comments. So, Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, this is wonderful. Great rhyme and flow. Brilliant imagery. I just adore how it speaks on love. And, you know, especially, you know, that they were, you know, the love of a mother with moms weave their heartstrings in a quilt that tie us all mm-hmm. together. You know, it's such wonderful lines on the way the memorabilia is kept by a mother in order that everyone can enjoy those memories of family time shared. So wonderful writing, very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Katie, I would love to know what you thought of If You're Abs poem.
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. Very good. She dyes my blues. I like that so much. Here's somebody who loves somebody enough to cheer them up, to make them happy when they're not. And I love that wonderful last stanza. Mums weave their heartstrings in a quilt that tie us all together. So when they're gone and hopes are drawn, we'll picture them forever. It's just lovely. I do like sentimental sweetness. I mean, I know I like horror and everything else, but I do love that side of it as well. I love the love that a mother has for their children. So mm-hmm. good. So good. Yes, yeah, so thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was lovely.
You know, I saw that he wrote for Mark Allen. This is a picture of his mother, Deborah. And, you know, I thought that this is just absolutely beautifully penned. You know, in each stanza, I could see something of my mother. You know, I could, it makes me think of the clothes she wore. It made me think of how she loved to whistle to the birds. And, you know, and then the second stanza, the bobbin spin, you know, for me, this was always, I can hear her sewing machine, you know, and her little colored, you know, bobbins, you know, and the string. And of course, you wouldn't want your kid unwinding them. That was just, it's just something tempting, you know, even like with a cat to yards of string, you know, sewing machine bobbins is just something that I really, it made me smile. And then, of course, in the third stanza, you know, my mother was always crocheting or knitting or sewing, and you know, and you know, those blankets that she would, you know, wrap around us, and she would make for other people for their babies, and you know, and I can still, you know, I can still hear her outside, like in the spring setting, her singing, you know, and so this, I thought, not only was this just beautiful, the sentiments in here are just so rich that it just makes you think of your own mother. And, you know, and this is a beautiful picture of his mother. And you did such a beautiful read. And we're ready for, we've got time for one more front page pick before we get into open poetry.
Okay, and we have it here. We have Silver Sun, Marker of Murdered Reveries by Alice Macabre. So I will read this one, if nobody minds too much.
Mm-mm.
Okay, cool. To where do your thoughts flitter, flutter, fly? O darling matter of murdered reveries. Turret terror keeps vigil, a scene of pallid sorrow, deceived by the sneering shadows of the crescent. Will incandescence ever bloom from your smile again? Hemorrhaging heavens weep, a silent explosion of slain stars. Paralytic love bleeds from arteries of anguish. Is hope but a forgotten melody to the soul that sings? Will dawn ever blush with nighttime kisses again? The keening of blackened witch's fingers claws the night, the sky. Sorry. To where do your thoughts flitter, flutter, fly, O darling martyr of murdered reveries? A copse of trees swallowed freedom with relish, an angel's tears descend in gasps, a flurry of fear, caged by your own expectations, will you cry? Deep, dark secrets chain and choke, a lullaby of lies, a garland of moonlit melancholy, strangulation and sin. silver sun? Will you hide your resplendence forever? Will you fade into the shade of night, a whisper of what was? Pools of eternity drink in the mirror skies. The horizon promises new life. End poem.
What a fabulous read. Fabulous poem by Alice. Thank you, Katie. What did you think about this poem, Bill, from Alice?
My first thought, just the idea of the martyr, of murdered reverie, and it made me think about how the stupid things I did when I was young and started drinking at a very early age. Mm. I've been sober for more than 10 years. But I will say my ideas of what used to be fun began and end at the bottle of bourbon. And then, you know, if you live long enough and survive your ignorance, you know, there are these fleeting moments where, you know, and she referenced this idea of, will the morning ever have that, kind of joy or relation that you found at night and the things that you did. So I get the idea of that. And I get the idea of the need to murder reveries, and I guess in my experience, bourbon is something of the martyr. It's what had to die in order for everything else. And I might be interpreting it wrong, but that's what is speaking to me when I read this poem, and I love it.
Thank you. And our next poet to comment is Frank.
Yes, I have written my share of poetry, of dark poetry. I have to say this type of poetry is very fascinating to me because it just pictures so much about hidden thoughts, hidden fears, or hidden insight in what we have of life. And this, the metaphor was striking before, let me say that beforehand. But I thought the piece overall was just commanding, and it was very gothic as well.
Thank you, Frank. Excellent comment. And how about you, Miriam? What did you think of Alice's poem? Miriam? Okay. Naomi, what did you think of Alice's poem?
On mute.
Miriam dropped.
Oh, did she?
Well, it says that she's still online. Call back, Miriam, in case you got dropped. Naomi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
I
Naomi?
Was on mute. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, well, I feel like this great despair in this poem. And, the questions that one would ask, how to get out of it, how to escape it, how to survive in the clutches of it. To where do your thoughts flitter, flutter, fly, oh darling martyr of murdered reveries? When your dreams are sunk, where do you go to? Which place do you go to help yourself survive? And I really like the stanza, is hope but where all the questions are asked, is hope but a forgotten melody, the soulless thing? Will dawn ever blush with nighttime kisses again? The keening of blackened witches' fingers claws the sky. To where do your thoughts flitter, flutter, fly? I love the repetition of that. To where do your thoughts flitter, flutter, fly? Where do we go when we are in those clutches of despair? How do we break free from it? That's what I got out of the poem. Now, amazing, mm-hmm. amazing.
Thank you, Miriam.
Yeah.
Excellent comment, Naomi. And Miriam, if you drop for some reason, please call back because you're up next. And if not, we wish you good night. Thank you for all your wonderful comments. And we're back to you, Miss Katie.
Okay. Well, as you see, I'd put her Miriam's poem up because I know she gets tired, and I thought I'd get that up as soon as I could. But unfortunately, so we'll just leave that for this and let her read it herself next time. Yeah?
Yeah, we'll put it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
So in case she needs to go to bed early.
Okay, no problem. Right, just bear with me. I've got to get back in and do my thing. Oh, I haven't done my thing. Hang on. Damn, my thing. Damn.
You do your thing there, Weaver. You do your thing.
I'm trying to, but the fates are fighting me. I'm here. I'm here.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great.
Thank you so much. I don't know why I get so nervous. It's ridiculous at my age, but there you are. Once a child, always a child. So we have Naomi. Naomi, my dear, this is yours. Photosynthesis by yourself.
Ooh.
So would you like to read this for us, please?
Yes. Photosynthesis. They say plants breathe out oxygen through their leaves. So I lug in the giant palm tree from off the deck, plop it down outside your room door before climbing into an empty bed, too big, too cold, for another long, lonely night of listening to your loud, ragged breaths echoing across the hall. They come in sharp, spasmic shudders, wheezing through your cancer-burnt lungs as if summoning death. And I get up and water that huge palm tree again, fling open the curtains, praying it will drink in a flicker of light from the moon. Open the freezer, pop ice cubes into a glass, pour in vodka and suck it down in one quick gulp, then pour in more and turn to pick up the phone to dial my daughter, pretending I'm sipping in enough water, sunshine, to still be able to breathe. End poem.
Oh, dear.
I could hear the sadness in your voice, Naomi. You know, poetry is something that we write when we're experiencing the darkness of life. You know, when somebody has an ailment, and whatever type of ailment it is, or cancer, we try our damnedest to do anything and everything that we read, to try desperately to help improve the health of that other person. Even though we know that it may not help, that it's inspiration. And, you know, when you have to deal with something like this, it is so desperately hard to watch somebody take their last breath. And you can't do a damn thing about it. And then you have to try and be strong, even though there's that feeling of weakness where you just want somebody to hug you and infuse some type of strength into you to get through this. And to have to be strong for everybody else while you're watching somebody just slowly fade from your life. This is a beautiful poem, Naomi, of people trying to survive the caretakers, the nurses that take care of people in their last ending stages of life. And this is beautifully penned.
Thank you.
Katie, what did you think of Naomi's poem?
it did to me what it's done to you was beautifully written, Naomi. The pain and the sadness and every word is true. Every word is exactly as it is if you're going through that. And it is lonely nights and pain. So it was very brave of you to share this with us and, you know, to let other people know that it's not easy for anybody. But I think you have written this with so much sweetness and what I'm looking for, I cannot think of another word actually, but you've written it so well that it tells exactly what's happening, and our hearts go out to you. We love you. Well done, my dear.
Thank you.
And Pam, what are your thoughts on Naomi's poem?
Oh, this is so beautiful. I mean, it just, oh my gosh, yeah. It the emotion in this, the power within the lines, how we take care of those around us. We take care of these plants and these people and everything and everyone around us. And in the meantime, we're barely keeping ourselves together as life tragedies just happen one after the other. I mean, this really pulls at my heartstrings. It's raw exposure of human emotions as one tries to hold it together in difficult times. Beautifully written, Naomi, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Naomi. Would you like to say anything?
I did like it, those damn palm trees. I really did.
Oh,
sweetheart. I love you. I love you. And, you know, thank you for not leaving him alone. Because we know there's so many out there that don't have people to be there with them in their last days, and I'm happy you were there with him.
Thank
Hugs,
you.
Hugs, sweetheart. Hugs, sweetie. Okay, we're ready for our next poem. Miss Katie?
Okay, my dear. Next one on is Centurial Cemetery by
Frank.
Oh, God. Right.
First, I just want to say, if I can say really quick, Naomi, that was just a powerful, powerful poem. And I just want to, I appreciate you sharing this poem tonight with us.
Thank you, Frank.
And before we get started, we have two new callers. CM, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, and I'm not sure who the other caller is.
Miriam is back with you.
Oh, Miriam. Oh, okay. Thank you
My
for calling
died.
Back, Miriam.
Not the other
oh, no. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you called back. And welcome, Thank CM, you. To the show. And we are ready to go. Our next poem?
Yes, the next one is still the Centurion Cemetery. By, and it has a SoundCloud, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't want to hear my voice again tonight.
The sweet silence of the day has been interrupted suddenly by the penetrating perturbation of roaring raindrops of a tempest looming over the sleeping souls of the creepy crawlers lurking beyond the old abandoned road of the Centurial Cemetery ahead. The seducing sounds of the solitary silhouettes resonate, an eldritch echo of the curious carts hiding in a shade of darkness when the nocturnal creatures of the spooky sanctuary watch, with the crimson film of the beady eyes of throbbing terror. The wailing winds of the cemetery reach the windows of townsfolk, waiting for the haunting hall to abate with the raging rain, as the clustered children hide under the beds with sheer fright, and the swaying shutters flap back and forth with all force. Scratching paws and horrible hissing of the emergent evil, glowing eyes of a menacing moonlight hovers high above, like a blissful light reflected from the burning brimstone. For the collisionist cards are aware of your susceptibility. Death is a blind mystery that only a few will resolve its enigma, and barriers a secret that remains hidden within the episodes of life, where the strangest beings of all thus reside beside us forever. If the strangest occurrences that torment our fragile minds. Can you hear the cats? Can you hear the cats?
Oh my God! I didn't recognize your voice when you first started reading.
Yeah, it was my accent voice, Christopher Lee voice that I do.
Well, it was fantastic. I mean, I know it's not my chance to comment, but I mean that just made goosebumps. fabulous recording, and I want to say good night to Bill. What did you think about the poem, Naomi?
Naomi had to step away for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Well, I spook everyone off tonight.
Miriam, what did you think of this poem by Frank?
I love the cat yowls, and I think you'd get a better comment from somebody else because I have trouble reading fancy fonts.
Okay. You know what I loved about this was scratching paws and horrible hissing of the emerging evil, glowing eyes of a menacing moonlight hovers high above, like a blissful light reflected from the burning brimstone. For the courageous cat are aware of your susceptibility. Yeah, it's hard for me to read this font too.
I apologize. I do apologize. I should have changed it before.
No, that's okay. But this was just horrifying. And then, you know, your voice was fantastic. Your imagery from the beginning to the end is terrifying. And then, especially when you hear those cats, I hate to hear cats like that. Yeah, howling. It's awful. No. Fabulous.
Oh,
I really enjoyed
Don't
it.
Worry. I paid them
Thank
tonight
you.
For that.
And I saw Pam made a comment in the group. Pam, I would like to know what you think.
I thought someone had put a cat in the toilet. And
oh my God! On my way, yeah,
I too have trouble with this font. However, I am always happy to comment on one of Frank's writes, and especially his performance. As always, Frank, a stellar performance with background noise, the sound effects, great read. I really like how you bring us into the dark eeriness of the movie, but with the story, but with, you know, word choices that are all your own.
An excellent dark light on those creatures of the night that walk with death. And I really like scratching paws and horrible hissing of the emerging evil, glowing eyes of a menacing moonlight hovers high above like a listful light reflected from the burning brimstone. I mean, those are the kind of lines that definitely send chills up and down the spine. So excellent work, right, and very well done.
Well, I appreciate that. I put my laugh to get any of you tonight.
It didn't mesh very well with the cats because it's just like, when you hear somebody, that crazy, insane laughter, oh, my goodness. And thank you, Pam. And what did you
think? It's only acting there.
And Miss Katie?
Yes, my dear.
Katie.
Hello. Do you want my comments or do you want the next poll?
Yes. No, I want your comments.
Yes.
By the way, I've changed. I've just changed the font, by the way.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yes, I thought, wow. I've actually written, for goodness sake, where was my warning? You're supposed to let me know. You're supposed to let me know.
That's why I've raised it. It did have ha-ha before. I intentionally for you tonight, I did raise the ha-ha from the poem. I thought I'd get you tonight there, Weaver.
Oh, I thought it was brilliant, man. It makes no difference. It does scare me, but it scares me in a good way. You know what I mean? But I've also put in my comment, but well done on the cat sounds. You did that so well.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Oh,
none were closer, by the way. They were willing actors like me.
Oh, I bet they got a couple of nice tins of tuna.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Miss Katie.
No problem, I did.
And Sam, did you get to hear Frank's poem? Sam?
Did I spook him as well? Oh, wow, I spooked three persons away there.
Not for
three. I'm going to spook everyone tonight.
Oh, dear.
Okay,
I apologize.
No, you didn't. CM, are you on right now? On call? Are you on the phone?
Can you hear me?
We can hear
you're
now.
You're mute.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know you could hear me. I'm new to all poetry, to be honest, and I'm also in the past several days I just started writing poetry as thoughts just came. And I really don't know why, but I mean, I have a few poems to share, and I just kind of want to, you know, see what the opinion would be on that, you know.
Okay. Do you know how to put a link, how to copy one of your links of your poems?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. If you look at the topics above the group where we're talking together,
it's there now.
Putting the poems. It's above it says, you can see my name, Lulu Wildev. And you can add your poem link there. You can in the comment box, your comment.
Yeah, it's already.
It's already.
Posted there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
he
you already added
it? There.
Yes.
Yeah, he posted it up on there.
Okay. And we're going to go ahead. And if we could get Miriam, you have two poems up here. Which is the one, did you want to read the first one you added?
Yeah, the armadillo is the one that I just gave it away.
The one that says tu amor, or the one that says imperfect
amor,
poetry?
Not tu armor.
Excuse me?
Tu armor, not tu arm.
Ah, okay. I can't read. Not reading very well tonight. Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Hello.
When Orleans' maid appeared in mail, they called her Armadillo. With all that heavy armor on, she did look like a fellow. But when she took her helmet off, they saw her face serene. Her holy visage shone with faith. An angel or a queen? Her eyes were small. Her nose was long. Her silky hair was sard dark. At last she doffed her feathered plates, revealing Joan of Aardvark.
I like that. And I see that Seth, when I read this to my husband, he was apparently unmoved. When I told him it had taken me about 20 years to write it, he hacked with laughter. Oh, my God. So what inspired, okay, I have to ask you, what inspired this poem, Miriam?
What inspired this poem was, I have no idea why this happened, but the phrase Joan of Aardvark came into my mind, and it was about 20 years ago, possibly more. And ever since then, I've been trying to work that into a poem. It started out as a limerick, and it just wouldn't work because I had to get Armadillo. That's what really helped. When I finally got that part in, then I could have the two different, you know, I could have the transformation of Armadillo into Joan of Aardvark. And I had to look up the animal. Make sure I had the details right.
Yeah, they run around out here in the Southwest. You know, I got to say, you know, I was just, you know, listening to you read, you know, about the helmet and her face serene, but those last four lines, her eyes were small, her nose was long, her silky hair was star-dark, at least she doth revealing Joan of Aardvark. I said that was just so clever. I just really enjoyed it. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Well, I think you can tell. Oh, marvelous. I do love it. I love a play on words with that. The minute I saw the armor, I thought, hello, what have we got here? To armor, not to arm. Very good. Yep, a punster. I like it so much. But that the last two lines, I just thought you were so pleased. I could tell you were so pleased in getting to the end and reading that bit out. You waited 20 years. Why not? You know, let's all enjoy it. I thought it was wonderful. At last she doffed her feathered plates, revealing Joan of Aardvark. Oh, so cool. Well done. I loved it.
Thank you.
Great. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is absolutely wonderful. It cracked me up. I love the wordplay. I would definitely, like, if this poem was made into a cartoon, I would watch a cartoon about Joan of Aardvark. This is just so brilliant and so clever and so fun. And I really am glad you shared this with us because this gave me a big smile.
Mm-hmm. It surely did. Thank you, Pam. Wonderful comment. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I thought this poem was very, very witty. Very witty. I have seen armadillos where I'm at as well, occasionally, maybe a few. But I thought the whole way, the structure of the poem, although it wasn't lengthy, it was just appropriate for the type of right that she implemented here. And the notion of Joan of Aardvark was very, very good, very creative as well. I thought she did a fantastic job, very, very enriched with wit, I would say.
Ingrid, wonderful comment, Frank. And CM, what did you think of Marianne's poem?
I just could not stop laughing. I love the Joan of Aardvark. Like I said, I'm new to poetry, so I don't understand, you know, all the lines in some people's poems. But all that you need to take away is that it made me smile and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. No, I absolutely love Joan of Aardvark.
Thank you, CM. Wonderful comment. And we are back to you, Miss Katie.
Okay. What we have now is Storm by CM25. Now, can you see that, CM?
Yes, yes.
Would you care to read that for us, please?
Would love to. So, Storm. When you walk, it rains, it pours. Through the pores, seeps poison spores. Fright not in this. This story can be yours. A time when nigh, it rains nor pours.
Thank you. You have a wonderful voice for reading poetry, Sam. I look forward to reading more of your poems. What inspired this, right, Sam?
It was just heartfelt, to be honest with you. I was sweating. I woke up and my shirt was sweating, and I was thinking about, you know, how you sweat, and that just inspired me.
Well, I thought it was fantastic. I loved your imagery in here. You know, do you live in a place where it's humid?
Live in Kentucky, actually. Yeah.
That explodes. That explains it. The only time we sweat here is when we get our monsoon season. You know, I really loved your imagery here. You know, now that I realize what you wrote about, it just makes me smile. You know, when you walk, it rains, it pours, and it does. When you live in a place that's moist, you know, your skin is moist and it reacts to the humidity. I really enjoyed the CM. What did you think of his poem, Katie?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. And yes, your voice really sets the tone for this poem. I love it. When you walk, it rains, it pours. And you'll get used to the fact that people keep reading your poetry back to you. It's something we do. It's not a weird thing. So, yes, okay. So, yeah, it's not we've forgotten what you've written. It's just a thing that we do to bring it to your attention, which particular lines we really enjoyed, you know, that kind of thing. So, yes, I thought it was very well done. I really enjoyed this. I can't believe that you're newly into poetry, because this is lovely. This is the word I'm looking for. I don't know the word I'm looking for because I'm now an idiot. Ah. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
Oh, dear, not there.
Time is getting away.
No, you're not an idiot.
It must be the hour for you.
Yeah. 25 to 5.
Yeah, my
goodness.
Open the window a bit. You'll be open.
Good idea. Trouble is I'm tethered.
Yeah.
I'm tethered to this microphone. I can't move.
Yeah.
Well, oh, dear.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, CM. I tend to go off.
No, you're fine. To be honest, since I'm so new to this, and this is my first time hearing this podcast, I'm not sure when I should, you know, stop talking, or, you know, when I should talk or reply, or I'm just kind of listening to your comments.
That's what's great about that. Pam, what do you think of CM's?
Oh, I like it, and I'm very glad that you called in to share it with us. And I do hope you'll keep an eye out on the topic boards and contests put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because I'd like to have you call in to more of the shows and share your poetry and share your voice. I thought this was a wonderful brevity. I like how you were saying that this was a literal poem about literally sweating. But I also can see it as being taken on a metaphorical level. First of all, with the saying, when it rains, it pours, meaning, you know, when everything goes wrong, when something goes wrong, everything goes wrong. And when you say the lines here, through the pores seep poison spores, that to me, besides being literally about sweating and getting all those toxins out of you, is about getting that emotional, spiritual poison out of you in order to live a more positive life. And that's what it spoke to me about, and I really appreciated hearing you read it.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. And Miriam, are you still with us?
Yes.
Go ahead and comment on seeing some?
It reminds me of my brother Hugh, and this is when I was was very young, he had diabetes, and he used to sweat like this. I mean, this could be his poem, that he would lean over, and the sweat would just run down his face onto the ground, plop. And so I was just wondering, are you diabetic?
No, I'm not diabetic. I was just sweating, and my shirt was just covered in sweat when I woke up. I sat in bed, and that's what I wrote.
Yeah, sure. Well, it can happen to anybody, but I was just concerned for you. But very well written, very clever, and I really appreciate it and hope to hear more from you.
Absolutely. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah, so with this program that you guys do, this podcast, do you guys allow people to share more than one poem in a night?
If we have time, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Sometimes we can. Sometimes you can get up to two poems, but it just depends on how many poems we have on the board.
Yeah.
And Frank, what did you think of the poem, CM's poem?
Well, first of all, it makes me ponder now. Me, myself, sweating there. I'll have to ponder as well that notion there. But I have to say the poem, although it's brief, it does make us reflect on the common things that we have in life, the things about nature and how they relate to our human nature. So I thought the poem was idealistic in that regard. I do like a time when it rains no pause. It's very, it just gives me an image there of what sweat is, which is natural, and rain is also natural. It's a fantastic job of combining both natures there. Now I'm going to take a walk afterwards myself and consider myself sweating there and see what I get out of that, perhaps. But you do a fantastic job, my friend.
Aww.
Great job.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And my birds are singing, so they like your poem too, Sam.
I'm so glad that everybody, seemed to take away a message. I feel like that's all in all the poems that I write. I just that I post. I just want, I feel like I just want someone to take away a message from them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that then just the way that we speak out of how we're feeling too, so that's what's so fantastic about poetry. And we're ready for our next link.
Okay. By the way,
I was going to say really quick to CM. CM, if you're not aware that they are every day, basically they are programs here, podcasts from late night poets at different hours, so you can always check those. You can participate in those as well, either by sending a piece or by calling in. You're always welcome.
Okay, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. I was going to say as well, CM, there's an old adage, I don't know if it's worldwide or not, but it's an old saying that horses sweat, gentlemen perspire, and ladies glow.
Well, that's true. That's kind of weird because that's the new makeup trend, is to have that wet look, moist look. Yeah.
Moist, not moist. Don't say that word, moist. It's horrible.
Are you moist already?
It's so late of an hour there for you. Were you about to be so moisty already?
Oh, my. I'm sorry. You're getting a terrible, terrible impression of us, CM. I do apologize.
Everybody's speaking for my brevity.
I apologize for myself because I can be a little bit risky sometimes. But they keep me in check. They make sure I don't go too far.
No, we don't. We like you just the way you is.
Oh,
that's true there.
So
even Pam there as well. No Pam.
Oh, Pam. I love Pam. I love you all, in fact. Let's be honest, you're just lovely people.
Easy Poochie.
Mm-hmm. We love you too.
I don't know what Frank's talking about. Don't you see my halo being held up by my horn?
You know that I once actually said to Pam, or about with Pam, I said, I'll read this as my poetry. I'll read this one, Pam, because I don't want to shock you. And she was in fits of laughter. Nothing shocked her. Brilliant. Okay, sorry, but back to the job. And next one up is Poets Inc. Poets Inc. Vanity by Soap Black Rose. And Pam, would you care to read this for us, please?
I would be happy to. This devil drives my hand with cruel laughter, gazing at me beyond vellum veal, hungering for the waste of my spirit. For is ink not the dark toxin of a poet's folly? Drawn like venom, our fingers bleed black, spilled across ivory pages in drops of searing confessions, purged with violent retching, scrawled into scorching calligraphy. Do cliches not cut a poet's hand more deeply, scar more jaggedly when barbs bare the bone? Does not the crumbling sound of arias weeping into the bitter dregs of dirges carve the sound of their dying wails as sigils upon our bones? Tell me true, doesn't our veins run hotter, burn deeper, blaze brighter when the blood of other wretched mortals? And do we not bear our scars like tattoos, gravestones to fallen lovers? Speak to me in truth, O poetess, or slide the steel of your dagger between my ribs and snuff the pyre of my love with a kiss as black as my soul. End poem.
Oh, you did a fabulous read of Silk Black Rose's poem. I mean, the imagery in here is just dark and it's deep. You know, he says in his author's notes, maybe a little, in a very communal way, just saying poets feel it, tell it, feel it much more deeply. I spent over 2 months on this and consider it one of my best works to date. I try to be truthful more than I usually am in most of my poetry. I hope it shows, and it did. You know, it's haunting. It just exposes, you know, the dark, deep emotions that we have. You know, this was just outstanding inking. Where he just opens himself up and reveals what is written within. I really liked it where he said, drawn like venom, our fingers bleed black, filled across ivory pages in drops of searing confession. Oh, God, it's just really good. And Pam, you did such a fantastic job in reading it. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, fantastic job in reading it, always. But I thought, like everybody said so far, this is quite searing and deep. My favorite, and I don't know why, but it is my favorite stanza. Tell me true, does not our veins run hotter, burn deeper, blaze brighter than the blood of other wretched mortals? Oh, yes. Oh, I like it. Yes, any artistic person, doesn't matter what the art form is, we are a little bit crazy, a little bit inward, sometimes inward, because we're always thinking of the next line, the next word, whatever. I go batshit crazy when I find that my poems are going down. You know how they say you've got 41 likes this week or whatever? Every time I see it going down, I go, I have to write something else. It's going down. it's madness, I tell you. I thought it was brilliant. And the read was great. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Francisco?
Well, I thought, as always, with Silk He does a fantastic job writing dark poetry. This poem really was very devilish, I would say. Just the whole notion there of venom fingers, bleed black, spilled across ivory pages. I thought this whole poem, throughout the whole poem, he does a masterful job of giving us imagery throughout the poem. And I was hoping there that Pam, when she got to that last stanza, she put it more of an acting job there with poetic side, the steel of your dagger. No, you did a great job, Pam. Just play it. I thought it was fantastic. Fantastic job.
And Miriam, what did you think of this poem?
I think it's kind of sudden. Sorry. Does not the crumbling sound of arias weeping into the bitter dregs of dirges carve the sound of their dying wails? I think that describes the sound of the whole poem. There's a horrible going on in the poem, but it's worded so beautifully.
Great. Thank you, Miriam. And what did you think of the poem, Sam?
Well, just one line I'm looking at, and it's connecting to me right now. It is, do cliches not cut a poet's hand more deeply, scar more jaggedly when barbs bear the bone? And what I'm thinking in that is, since I'm new to writing poetry, and when I put my poems in where you post a new poem, it tells you of the auto rank feature, and it tells me, oh, I'm using cliches. To me, that tells me, honestly, it just doesn't matter if you use cliches, because they are they're what matter to you and what you write. So and it honestly, I feel like it doesn't matter what other people may think when it comes to that, because if it's what you ink, it's what you ink.
Exactly. Agreed. Everybody should express themselves however they want, whether it makes auto rank or not. That's my opinion. I agree with you. And Pam, did you think of Silk's poem?
Well, the first thing I thought was, why the hell didn't this get assigned to Frank?
I was thinking the same thing there, Bob.
It was
you better want
to read Silk. He's a brilliant writer. I like how this is dark, but it's a beautiful darkness that speaks with an intelligence, and the idea that it is the darkness, it is the depth of the emotions that moves a poet to write. And amazing lines all the way through, but I especially like, drawn like venom, our fingers bleed black, spilled across ivory pages in drops of searing confession. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Okay, Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, it's up and ready. It's More Matches to Burn by Poetically Written. And I think we'll have to put our newest member of the group into doing a little bit of work. So how would you like to read this one for us, please?
Yeah, let me get to that real quick.
No problem.
I put my phone down just to listen. So.
Oh, right.
Oh. All right. More matches to burn. Another case and point to make. Another right before it's late. The things you reap are things you ate. Some things you'll need to gurgitate. Not every right you read is real. Grab hold to rights to which appeal. Inside the car, no hands to wheel, which brings us to an emotional feel. Not every read was meant to last, but still, they've made a part to past. Carefully filter the things you grasp. just keep in mind that you're the clasp. Circle past and its emotion, careful to read each word that's spoken. Inside the lines, we'll pick and choose some words, leaving nasty bruise.
Fantastic read, Sam. I want to thank you for reading Politically Written Poem, More Matches to Burn, and let's get some comments. What did you think of his poem, Katie?
Oh, yes. Well read, by the way. I thought it was very succinct, and it really got the point across, which I love. I think that's crazy good. But, yes, you only ever know about another person what they want you to know, especially if you're, you know, if it's words that you're typing to each other. You can't tell who or what or where they are unless they decide to tell you. So I think that's great. Not every right you read is real. Grab hold to right to which appeals. Inside the car, no hands to wheel, which brings us to an emotional feel. I bet you would think you'd be screaming in terror. Get your hand on the wheel. Okay, brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Very well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And Pam, what did you think of Politically Written Poem?
Oh, this is wonderful. I love how it speaks on the importance of words and whether a poem just gives you pleasure in the moment or it sticks with you forever. There is a, you know, an importance, a strength within words, but I especially like when he says, they say at the end line, some words will leave a nasty bruise, that idea that, yes, words do hurt very much.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And what did you think about the poem, Francisco?
Well, I'm going to simply echo what Pam said here. You know, the poem itself really just speaks on the relevance of words and what you say. You know, in that last line, it was very indicative of what was trying to be emphasized here. I guess the moral of the piece here. Fantastic job.
Agreed. You know, I remember when somebody told me that a match burned twice, and I thought, well, no, it doesn't. And they did. They lit the match, and they blew it out, and then they touched me with the black end. And he said, see, it does burn twice. And, you know, and that is what Pam brought out. You know, when we read somebody's emotional poems, sometimes they tie in with what we've dealt with and what we feel, and it does leave a bruise. You know, it can leave a bruise of, well, you know, that you haven't thought about it, and, you know, and it makes you think differently, or it's a bruise that, you know, gets touched again from the emotions, from the pain, you know, where it says, you know, where, you know, these poems, you know, you never know, like what Katie was bringing up, where this wheel is going to turn and how it's going to leave us. But, you know, for me, I love emotional poems, and this is something I get into. Miriam, what did you think?
First, I'd like to say that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will only... little rhyme I learned in my mm-hmm. youth to try. I really try never to hurt anyone with my words.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how politely and kindly and carefully you speak, someone, either they misunderstand or they're just so sensitive, they're going to get bruised anyway. So it's, I know it's still important to try. But I think it's also important to realize that we are human, and if we do inadvertently hurt someone, it is still important to let them know that we're sorry they got hurt.
Yes, agreed. Thank you, Miriam. And Sam, you're going to give us our closing comment. What did you think of the poem you read?
Honestly, just matches to burn. you know, since I'm new to poetry, I'm honestly, I'm a real fond fan of brevity. So, and you know, that's all I see. So, like, I pick a line and think about it.
Yeah.
And this line was the title. And how it all related and connected to everything that was there. I'm not that great at comments yet and speaking on that type of stuff, I feel, but, I mean, well done. Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
Well done connecting that title to that poem. because sometimes I had a hard time understanding.
No, that's okay. No, you know, that's it. That's what I love about poetry, is because everybody sees something different and they bring out something different that maybe I didn't think of. And that's what makes us so enjoyable. You know, we're here to, you know, encourage poets to write, and that's the whole issue. And also there's open poetry on Friday night if you'd like to add a poem to Fill My Eyes' show. So I want to thank everybody that called in.
Brown has a show as well.
Mm-hmm. And stayed with us in the group. Thank you, Katie, Phil, Pam, Bill, Frank, Miriam, Naomi, Sam, for calling in and sharing the night with us. It was enjoyable. Thank you all so much. I love you guys. Besitos a todo. Kisses
Besitos
to everybody. Buenas noches. And good night, everybody. Love
good
you
night,
guys.
Good night, everyone.
Take care.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Good night, Pam. Bye bye, everybody.
Good
night,
night
boy. You too, my darling.
Good night.
Take care.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. Diddly-dum, diddly-dum, diddly-dum. Boom.
Are you still on?
Oh, hello. I think everybody can probably still hear us as well. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I thought it had all gone.
You did a fantastic job. Fantastic job. Lou and you did a fantastic job of hosting. Just want to say that before I leave.
Oh, thank you. It's not easy. I get a little bit excited, and I do tend to stay the whole time, but I enjoy
it. No, it's okay. You did a fantastic job, and they're very much appreciative of your work here at the Late Night Poet. So I just want to say that before I go. I've got to get up in the morning, but
so do
stay safe there over there where you're at, and always know that you're appreciative. You're very much appreciated with your participation here in the shows.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind. I did feel kind of down a little bit, but that has cheered me up no end. Thank you. It is fun.
You will.
Take care, my darling.
Take care.